I have hit the record button. Joe, do you want to give a quick sound test so I can see your levels?
Evil Jason!
That's perfect. Special guest whose name will come up later. Can you, real quick, just I see yours?
What?
You're a little bit quiet. But you know what? So am I. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So, let's just... Oh, whoops. Yeah, we're starting. Go, Joe!
Welcome to the very evil edition of Just Be Cousins. Starring Jason Mark, an evil asshole by all accounts, and also Joe Neal, slightly less evil, they say. An insane has returned to the podcast. He's a very good guy. Anyway, welcome to Just Be Cousin.
Joe, your evil voice sounds like your Halloween voice. Are you saying Halloween is evil?
That wasn't me. I had a guest intro dude. To bring us in. His name is Jack Ghastly Spookenstein.
Jack Ghastly. Oh, him, yeah. So he did both the Halloween and the Evil episode.
Yeah, try and pronounce his name correctly. It's Jack Ghastly Spookenstein. Not Jack Ghastly Spookenstein.
Jack
comes out too
Ghastly. Easy. Yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear you're saying. And we've got Ian in the building, even though we're in three different buildings. Ian!
I'm not I don't have anything to do with evil, but I guess you two are terrible, so that works.
So, yes, you do have something to do with evil. Well, didn't you all grow up on Payne Street? Isn't that an evil thing? You know, evil in your past?
Yeah.
There was down on some Payne Street.
Welcome back, Ian.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thanks, man.
We missed you. It's been
a
year.
How are you guys doing?
Well, we're better now.
Pretty good.
How are you? Are you sleeping these days? How old's your addition to the world population?
He's got a couple.
My youngest is going to turn 1 year old next week. So
yikes!
It's been whirlwind. I moved from Texas to Minnesota to work at a larger dog grooming company than I was at, and so it started snowing here in Minnesota, and so now I'm grooming dogs in the snow. So that's pretty exciting.
That's pretty suck. Yeah.
Wow. Grooming dogs in the snow.
I think snow is evil.
Frozen. It's not great.
Maybe for our new listener. See, Ian used to be our listener, but because he moved, it made it very difficult. Well, he decided he didn't like the show, so he didn't listen anymore. And then because he was so far away, he couldn't be a part of the show. Mm-hmm. But we're recording in the middle of the day, and when it comes to time zones, this allows Ian Sane to return, at least briefly, to the show. And maybe he'll listen to this show, and he'll be the listener again.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I hope so. But as you saw from my calendar that I sent you, I don't have a lot of time to listen to anything.
I hope I will
be able to.
I want to make a mention of that that schedule. That was good stuff. Today, and this cracks me up, Ian has moved a meeting in his very busy dog grooming schedule and he put into his Outlook calendar JBC episode, and so there's all of this work shit, and then right in the middle of it on Friday is JBC, and he sent me a screenshot of that that made me laugh out loud. Anyway, I think that's great. Thank you Ian for coming on the show. We miss you.
Miss you too. That's the only way I can actually make sure that I was able to be here, because otherwise people will schedule more dog groomings for me in that period. So
maybe it's worth mentioning that this is the first time we're recording in the daylight, so to speak, right?
That's not true. This is the second time.
Well, the one on your birthday.
You to remember that.
The one on your birthday, I'm not counting. Or are you talking about different
ones? Oh, okay. Oh, no. We did. I think I remember the episode. It was episode 7. We actually had to do it on like a Sunday morning because
you're right.
Our schedules were all mixed up. It's only happened one other time. It stands out.
Can you tell the good listener why we're recording in the day and not tonight when we should be? which is only proper.
Ah, this will bring us to our theme. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to, with my wife, LP, Laura Pauline, and a regular addition to our show, Shags.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Wicked tonight.
Yeah, I was looking that up. You are going to the Adler Theater in downtown Davenport to see the That's Davenport, right. Sons of the Korean War Ladies Auxiliary present Wicked-ish. So that should be, like, really riveting.
Yeah, and that's how we chose the theme, because we had no idea what we were going to do, which is a normal thing. But I said, I'm going to Wicked. And then Jason's like, well, let's do Wicked. I was like, well, I don't know anything about that story. I don't know really much even about the Wizard of Oz. And he was like, no, like Wicked, wickedness, evil, bad mojo. I was like, all right, yeah, let's go. So shall we jump into that conversation?
I have no idea how the trajectory
of this discussion. But
well, I think first we need to define what evil is, and then we can talk about how much we like it. So I personally think this is going to sound weird. I think about it all the time, and I feel like I've got a grip on what I think evil is, and I think that it doesn't quite jibe with what is popularly used, and therefore when it comes to evil, I'm kind of a hipster. So but let's start with Ian. Ian, do you have, like, in your head a definition of evil? What are things that you consider to be evil, or is there a haircut you had once that was evil? Like, tell us what you got.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming you don't mean evil like in the awesome or the wicked as in the awesome sense, but then in the actually bad sense, and yeah, not bad in the good sense, but bad in the bad sense.
Right.
Then yes. I don't have a definition. I have a person. I have a person who I think is evil, who Mr. Neil also knows from back on Payne Street.
Oh, yeah?
You want me to tell you a story about
the person? Ooh, I think I know exactly who you're talking about. Should we say his name for real, like, in this universe, his real first and last name? What do you think?
I don't want to do that, but you can. It's your show.
That's okay.
But I can tell a story about an evil person if you want to hear one.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll call him Craig Evilberger III.
Yeah, let's call him Craig Evilberger. That's just about right. So, okay, so Craig Evilberger and some friends are out driving in their car, and they are going over to their friend Jack's house, and Craig decides he's going to go into Jack's house to borrow some video games. And so he goes in. He's in there for a few minutes, comes out later with some video games and with Jack's Nintendo 64, because this is the 90s. And people say, well, what's going on? He said, oh, yeah, Jack said I could borrow his Nintendo 64. Gets into the car. They all drive away. Turns out later that night that everybody finds out that Jack had actually been in his house, was suffering from depression, and shot himself in the head with a shotgun and was lying there dead. And that Craig Evilberger had walked into the house, seen this situation, stepped over him to unplug his Nintendo and take it. So that this same person, Craig Evilberger, went to rehab once and used it as an opportunity to smuggle in drugs so that he could sell at inflated prices to people in rehab. So that's what I would say. That's like the one person I know who, in all my interactions with them, was just evil and never had any remorse.
He stepped over a dead body to steal that person's video game console.
I see where you're
coming
from.
That's my evil.
There. Yeah. Okay. And
I remember that story. I didn't expect to hear it today. Holy shit, that is evil. I hate that son of a bitch still.
I hate that son of a bitch. Yeah. So that is my bar for evil. And so I know I've known a lot of people who I think are assholes or douchebags or dickwads or any variety of other categories of bad people, but that's my bar for evil. And I think there's lots of people like that in the world, but that's the only one I've ever personally known of.
So you're not going to say that being a dickwad is evil necessarily, and your bar for evil is, I don't know if high or low is the right word to use in this context, but also, though, whatever it is, it's rare in people, in as much as that's the only one you've ever met, and you've probably met in your life, I don't know what the average person meets, like 100,000, 250,000 people over the course of their life. So one out of...
Yeah, like a million.
Yes,
1 to 2 million people, probably. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
And
to be fair, I have no idea who maybe has somebody locked in their basement or is, you know, I don't know what people do on the weekends, but the only person who I ever, like, saw the mask pulled off and saw the grinning skull face underneath That's the and it's not like, hey, this person had a bad day. It's like every 2 weeks you like turn around and he's like, boo, skull face again, right? So
yeah.
It's just like a constant skull face. Yeah. So that's
and right. he lived in the same neighborhood where me and Ian lived, yeah. Down on Payne Street in Sevierville.
Let me make a
Sevierville,
point,
Tennessee.
Sevierville, Tennessee. I'll make a point here. Ian, you said you don't know who has somebody locked in their basement. And yeah, I would agree that if somebody had somebody locked in their basement, there we might find out that that was an evil act. But by hiding it, that is a willfully different thing than somebody who like straight up admits, yeah, there was a corpse. I stepped over, got me a Nintendo 64, whatever. I mean, that kind of blatant in your face, like whatever. I mean, that definitely is a different shade or
yeah, and that's
realm
that,
of
right. The sheer and that's a situation of many. But yeah, the sheer like flat faced, bald faced, fucking ballsiness of it. Just yep, this is just the person I am, and this is what I do, and I'm there. I don't even see a reason to hide it or make excuses for it. Yeah, right. I think that's a part of it.
When I was, you know, in proximity to this person, Craig Evilberger III, he just kept doing, like you said, Ian, he kept doing evil things over and over again. It was like his fucking brand.
Yeah.
And his brand was strong.
Yeah.
So let's.
Yeah, if he was on Instagram, it would be like Evil McEvilton. And he'd be famous
for being evil.
For being evil, yeah.
So
I think that's a very good example.
Yeah.
And I know that you're probably just chomping at the bit here.
I am.
Or is it champing at the bit?
I'm champing.
Chomping.
You take any
CH word.
Anyway,
I'm sure that you've got a bit.
Yeah.
And why don't you define evil for us?
Okay, so I do want to come back to this Evilberger guy because there's something you guys mentioned that sparked a thought in me. But the way I define it, I get really strict, right? And I say that very overly simplistic, evil is the thwarting of somebody's free will. So, and you can interpret that however you want to. Like if I hit you and you're like, I'm in pain. I did not choose to be in pain. That means you're evil. You could do that. I think that's a little bit off, but you could get away with it like that. I mean, you could justify calling any overtly destructive act as evil for that reason. But I think to get really down to the nitty-gritty of evil, what we're talking about is basically seducing someone to do something that they don't want to do. And they know they don't want to do it, but they have to do it anyway. And that gets really down into it because when you get right down to it, nobody can do something they don't want to do. Like if somebody says, hit that guy in the face or I'll kill your mom, you can choose not to swing your fist, right? You can choose not to. And the decision to go ahead and swing your fist so that you don't get your mom shot. Though that lends itself to the person who told you to do that, they're being evil. And that's why we have the so-called seven deadly sins, right? Because those are things that are in people that would make them do something that they know they don't want to do. So you can be evil to yourself. You're like, well, I don't want to rape that shorty girl, but I am full of lust, so I have to, right? And that's why the act is evil. It's not evil because of what you did to her. It's evil because of what you did to yourself. It's also evil because of what you did to her, but that's, like I said, a different aspect of all this. So that's what my definition is. It basically comes down to thwarting somebody's free will, making them, forcing them, having them do something they don't want to do. And I should add, for a morally reprehensible reason. Like, forcing your kid to take a nap, that's not evil. That's for their own good, right? But
that's what I was going to say. Is like, because given a choice and her own free will, my two-year-old would eat 4 pounds of candy and watch Octonauts on Netflix all night. But
right.
I kind of need her to sleep, but I thwart her free will every day.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
every day.
Yeah, so that's the good kind of thwarting. But you're talking about, and this is very, that's very Satan-y because, you know, Satan represents these, you know, self-destructive desires and temptations that we have within us.
Right.
That thwart our own, you know, tendency toward enlightenment and good deed.
Yeah, I can attach it. Now, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I think the Bible is a bunch of hokum. But as a story, I find it very interesting. And the idea that the angels rebelled against God and he kicked them out, and that's where Lucifer became, you know, Satan, right? Allegedly. What you have is, why did the angels rebel? And that's because, you know, in the Bible it says God put human beings above angels. And the reason, and what that really means is God gave human beings free will, but he didn't give it to Satan, or he didn't give it to Lucifer. Lucifer got super pissed. He rebelled because he wanted to have free will. Now, how can you have an angel rebel if he doesn't have free will? I don't know. It's the Bible. But the whole point of Lucifer is his job is to thwart the free will that God gave to human beings. And so that's how it all works. That's why Satan is against free will. He wants to use yours against you. So he won't jump up out of the ground and say, hi, I killed your mom, bye. It's more like, I'm going to make you kill your mom, and I'm going to make you want to do it and know that you don't want to do it while you're wanting to do it. That's the evil thing.
Hey, he uses us as marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he needs our free will.
Right. And his goal is not to harm the thing that he's having us harm. His goal is to have us harm ourselves in our harming other things.
Because fuck you, God.
That's right. That's basically his deal, if you believe in that stuff. So yeah, that's my definition. And I wrote a book about this. I literally did. I wrote a book about it.
No shit.
Yeah, it's a fiction book, but in it, it treats this idea of evil. I haven't published it. I haven't edited it yet, but I finished it. It's called The Wanderer, and maybe someday you'll read it. Maybe someday you won't. I don't know.
Did you read?
I like to read your books, Jason.
Thank you. That's nice of you to say. What was that, Ian?
Did you read it in NaNoWriMo? The November novel writing thing.
Yeah,
that people do.
I think that's a fair question. I finished it in NaNoWriMo. I had started it well before that, but finally a November came around a few years ago, and I was like, I got to finish this damn thing, and so I just pounded it out. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So NaNoWriMo. You didn't need for evil to just say, I wrote the last word, and look at me in NaNoWriMo. You actually used it, too.
Good. Well, yeah. I mean, I try to do NaNoWriMo every year, this year I failed utterly, but that's okay. But I'm not above taking... 49,500 words, and in November writing 500 more and saying, look, I did it. I wrote 50,000 words in November. I'm not above it. I will lie. I will be evil that way. I don't. I cheat.
When you said NaNoWriMo, I had no idea what you're talking about. Was that like a very, very, very small rap competition?
Yes, basically.
I've been talking for 10 minutes. So, Ian, do you want to tell Joe, even though it's really not on the topic of evil, but what NaNoWriMo is?
National November Writers Month. The idea being that a bunch of people all around the country start, like on November 1st, you start writing a novel, and the idea is to get the first draft done by the end of November. So there's big online communities that all work together, and you try to write like 2,000 or 3,000 words a day, so you have a significant work done by the end of the month, not edited or anything, but you try to brain vomit out, as much as you can in November in a single month to try to get something out there.
Yeah.
Ooh. Have you ever done this, Ian?
God, no.
Oh. You read
but A Night Without... I have a lot of friends who do, and I can see how much they suffer every time. So
it is. It's
so tough. No, I have two dogs to groom, man, and kids to chase.
I wrote a book that just so happens that there's a very evil character in it.
Yes, there is.
I tried to get really hardcore with my evil villain in my book, but anyway... I wrote a book, and I took my sweet motherfucking time.
Like you should. NaNoWriMo, nobody thinks that NaNoWriMo is the be-all, end-all, and that these books that come out of it are amazing. I mean, there have been amazing books that come out of it, but it's more a celebration kind of through torture kind of thing. The Night Without Sunshine that you read, Joe, that was written during my first NaNoWriMo, so... that's why it's so short. It's only 50,000 words, but that's the minimum you're supposed to hit with the thing. Anyway,
the book didn't seem rushed.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say. But
well, hey, you know what we can do just for fun? And
yeah,
I know this is the evil episode, and it's going to be kind of like the Halloween episode. I almost consider it like leftovers from our Halloween celebration. But just to lighten it up a little bit, we went a little bit into real evil. What are you guys, a little bit of a round table, because I know, Ian, you've got like a hard out pretty soon.
Yeah.
What are your favorite, maybe we'll start with you, Ian. Who is your favorite evil villain or evil character? And what makes favorite them the most character. Goddamn evil character?
From TV? From
anywhere. Well, a book, a show, a movie, a video game. I don't give a shit.
I mean, the people who come to mind are the villains on The Wire and Breaking Bad, but that might be. So I would say, you know, gosh, what's his name? The main character in Breaking Bad. He's pretty freaking evil. And
Walter White.
Yeah. I'd say Walter White and Stringer Bell. Those would be my two favorite evil characters.
So why
just really briefly, why is Walter White so goddamn evil? Yeah, from your perspective, what makes him so terrible?
Why do I view him as evil, or what do I think makes him so evil?
Yeah, what makes him evil?
I think what makes him evil is that he takes a personal tragedy and instead of tries to bend it to his advantage, and then every single thing that goes wrong finds a way to justify why he's the aggrieved party and keeps stooping to dirtier and dirtier acts while getting less and less embarrassed or ashamed of what he's doing until he's really just committing mass murder and hooking people on drugs for millions of dollars, and he's just a bad person.
And it makes him super extra double evil.
Sorry?
It makes him double evil because he's doing it under the auspice of victimhood and vulnerability. Well,
I don't think there's very many evil people in the world who don't. I mean, I'm guessing most evil people wake up thinking they're the good guy, but that don't make it so. I think the people who wake up and think, man, I was not a good person yesterday, I gotta see if I can be a better person. I don't think those people are maybe all the way to evil yet. I think they're still fighting it.
They're in denial about their own inner evil.
Yeah, the people who are just like, yep, just living my life, gonna go torture another person to death or something, now that's pretty evil. Like, good thing I'm here to torture somebody to death. Who knows what would happen otherwise? That would be that's pretty bad.
That's I was gonna go with Hannibal Lecter, because he's fucking,
oh yeah,
he's all the way there. But you know, the thing about Hannibal Lecter, I think he might be a little bit easier to deal with than Walter White, because there's no, because you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
He'll look you just straight in the eye and be like, I'm going to eat your face. And then you're like, oh, okay. Walter White, you might think he's a nice guy and you could be in terrible danger. You just don't know who you're dealing with. Hannibal, you want to stay far away from him, and you know it. And he'll tell you.
And he'll tell you. And he's not going to be like, I'm a really nice guy.
Right.
He's not a nice guy. He knows he's not a nice guy. That doesn't make him a good person, but it's not the same level of evil as the person who thinks they're doing good or justifies them to themselves as righteous when they're terrible. I mean, I don't want to Godwin myself, so I won't mention the obvious one there.
Okay.
Speaking of Godwinning, Jason, do you think when people invoke our leader, that's kind of like Godwin 2.0, just as a side thing? Because it feels like some people would bring that up, and I feel that's it's moving into Godwin territory. I don't know. That's side discussion.
I wasn't going to go there. Seemed too easy.
Okay. So I got to go, you guys.
All right. Well, Ian, hey, it was great hearing you again. Maybe we could do this again, a daytime show, just so we can get you back, because we missed you, bud. And we hope you're doing well at the doggies.
Fun. I wish we could talk about evil with you for hours and hours on end.
We can. Call me on the weekend. We'll chat. But yeah, let's do another one sometime soon during the day. I'll block off even more time.
Excellent.
Right on. All right. See you later, Ian.
Bye bye.
Thanks for having me.
What's his intro, outro? We'll sing it because I don't have it queued up.
Well, back in the day, it was, you know, he's Ian Sane, so it's.
Oh, that's right.
Insane in the membrane. Right.
Insane in the brain. Yeah. There you go. All right. So, Joe, who's your favorite evil villain person guy?
Well, again, it's almost too easy to go Hannibal Lecter, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's legitimate, though. I mean, I think that we're always going to find a way to associate sociopathy, how do you pronounce that word, with evil. And I think Hannibal knows he's a sociopath, mm-hmm. and is like, so? And probably he would do evil things and tell you that, well, there's no such thing as evil, so get off your high horse. You judging me is what's evil, you little, give me your nose. Like that.
You know, I made up this character, an evil vampire.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I think it just reflects what I think might be a, you know, pure evil, at least one manifestation of pure evil. He's his vampire, and he's got a certain taste in women, and he's a vampire that can procreate, and he basically collects, coercing these women, collects them into these harems around the world. Mm-hmm. They all look the same, and then he impregnates all of them, and then all the children basically look the same. And yes. This is him just trying to populate the world with him.
Yeah, that's pretty evil.
And then that's his explicit plan, is that he wants there to be only vampires and only vampires of his that are direct reflections of him genetically.
Right. Yeah, that's evil. Because it's
What's funny?
Speaking of evil, my garage door just opened by itself.
What?
So that might have been an evil spirit. Sorry about the distraction.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine. Hey, speaking of, I meant to at the top of the show apologize for the background noise from last week's show, which was my son snoring.
That sounded like an evil spirit.
It did. Yeah, it was funny because Allison listened to the episode and she didn't realize. She's driving the car listening to the episode and she's like, "Is the baby monitor in my car? Why am I hearing our son snore?" And then she realized, oh, it must be on the show. So, yeah, I apologize for that. When we went to the hospital to get our kid, it was in early October, and there weren't very many left. Because that's an early – there's the rush on babies usually in October because you want to get a kid for the holidays, but you want them to be young enough that you can still control them, but, something cute to show off at Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Wow, and people really need that practical?
Yeah, they are, yeah. And you need about a month to, get used to it and stuff. So there weren't very many left, but he was the cutest one. Yeah, a couple flaws. He snores, whatever. But it actually has worked out pretty good because we can keep track of him that way. He's not snoring. He must be dead.
You've had a child now. Is that your plan to just spread your likeness and your narcissism across the planet?
No, we're
or
done.
Do you have no? You have no. Good intentions.
I have good intentions. I will mold him into my image, but not because I'm so narcissistic that I want there to be something like me, but rather because I'm so paranoid that he'll be way, way better than me, that if I give him all of my flaws, he'll be just as sad as I am. So that's the goal. Yeah.
You're not evil. Your misery needs company.
That's exactly what it is.
Might as well be your progeny.
Yeah. So back to evil villains. I think that Hannibal Lecter, that's a legitimate one. I think Ian's definition was legitimate. I am not really sure what mine is.
Well, let me buy you just a moment here. See, yeah. Hannibal Lecter, I think, is an easy call. The vampire that I created, I tried to give him a really evil name, too, so I named him Darren Ravenbaugh.
Yeah, that's evil.
Pretty fucking evil name.
Yeah.
Anyway, in my narcissism, I think that the character that I created is the best evil villain.
All right, well, there you go. All right, I'll throw some more at you, and you tell me what you think.
Okay,
so I had to look it up because I can't, off the top of my head, just think of something. But I realized there are a couple in here that I do like. So I think Jigsaw from the Saw movies. Remember that guy, Jigsaw?
Yeah. I didn't see all of them, though.
Okay.
It seemed like they just kept making them.
They did, yeah. And basically, the reason why he's truly evil is because he puts these people in these situations where it's like, hey, if you want your head to not get crushed, you have to dig into this guy's stomach and pull out the key. That kind of thing. I was like in one of the Saw movies. I mean, that's just straight down the line of my definition, right? He's just making people do terrible things to decide. Yeah. So I think that's a good choice. And then another one was, where did it go? Sorry, I lost it. Oh, Moriarty from the new Sherlock Holmes TV show. The one with the...
With Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, him, That Moriarty guy.
Great villain.
And I think, when you said, who's your favorite? I mean, I really enjoyed every scene he was in. I mean, he just really... I don't know who that actor is. I don't know who the writers were, but they really put it all together. And he just exuded this persona of, if not evil, just a unique himness. I don't know the way to put it, but I thought that was really great.
Somehow that actor made himself, if I were in a room with him and he was behaving that way, I would feel like I was in terrible danger. Yeah, like almost like spiritual danger.
Yes. Yes.
Like
exactly.
You can't escape him somehow. Like that's he really is that good. That's how the dude made me feel when I was watching the show.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think though, overall my favorite evil character would be the Joker from Batman. And maybe that's a little bit cheesy, but I just love his, why don't I say love, but I'm fascinated by his appreciation for anarchy and the way he insists on using irony to do evil things, right? He's the Joker. You know, I've talked ad nauseum about how I say humor and irony are the same thing. And the Joker, you know, the idea that he's going to make you laugh even though you're dying, or he's going to laugh while he burns a pyramid of money or whatever. That kind of thing. Just fascinates me. And talk about a character who, an actor who brought his own version of the Joker, well, you know, Heath Ledger, the late Heath Ledger, his Joker in that Batman movie was really, really good. I mean, that scene
where
he's...
Yeah, it was great.
He's got... I don't know characters' names. He's at that party. He's got Maggie Gyllenhaal's head in his hands, you know, and he's talking to her. And she's trying to struggle, but he's just, like, holding her there. And he's chewing like a tomato. So he's got he's just everything. It's just so evil dripping off of him. It's just like, I was, like you said about the Moriarty guy, I was terrified. I was like, this is not going to end well for anybody, you know. So I'm going to say Joker.
When I think of evil too, I think of, you know, dangerousness and like dangerousness. And what I mean by dangerousness is like just not only willing to destroy other people and other things and the world probably altogether. When we're talking about the Joker and Moriarty, I feel like they want to destroy the world. Even Darren Ravenbaugh would just like to lay waste to the world for their own purposes. I'd say when I think of evil villains or just evil, the destructiveness of that entity has a lot to do with how evil I think they are. And the Joker, I mean, he would like to just see... I think Alfred Pennyworth said it the best. He just wants to see the world burn.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really narcissistic about it either. I feel like some manifestations of evil have a lot to do with narcissism.
Absolutely,
like just everybody else's needs or interests go to the wayside and people are just are destroyed for the personal kind of whims of the evil person. Well, the Joker's like, no, just fuck me, fuck everything. Makes him really dangerous.
Yeah.
Like even more dangerous because there's no leverage. There's no fighting that type of, really. I mean, it's very difficult to fight that type of evil.
Yeah, exactly. It's I think that when you're, I think you put it very well, when you're in the presence of evil and you're not succumbing to it, right? Because when you're succumbing to it, according to my definition, you maybe know it's evil, but you're doing whatever it is that's going on. But if you're not succumbing to it, you're so, I think we're more creatures at the end of the day because we're so utterly frightened, terrified in the presence of evil. A really great example of this, in my opinion, also a little bit cheesy, but who cares, was, do you remember that movie, The Prophecy? Christopher Walken played an angel?
Gabriel.
Yeah, he played, Gabriel, right? Remember that?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but yeah. Refresh me.
And there's a scene where the main character... The ex-priest cop or whatever, he's standing there and Lucifer himself shows up, right? The very paragon of evil. And the actor or the character is clearly terrified. He's like, oh my God. And he says something and Lucifer replies, I can lay you out and fill your mouth with your mother's feces or we can talk. And it's just like, you know, that's true. It's not bluster or, you know, it's not some guy on the internet just saying, I'm gonna kick your ass. No, you just know that can't happen. That and it will happen if you don't do what he wants.
And there's something scarier about how nonchalant and filthy and horrible that is.
Yeah,
just how as a matter of fact it is.
And so there's
Skeeves me out, dude.
Yeah, and so there's you know,
hey, wasn't that Viggo Mortensen
who played Lucifer,
the king? I might have that wrong, but
I don't think
that's
so.
Quite a contrast.
No, it was. I think it was some character I've, or actor I've never seen before. I mean, I can look it up real quick, but you know what, dude? You are 100% right. It was Viggo Mortensen.
It's
wow.
Viggo,
dude.
And he can play the king of Middle Earth, like just filled with goodness. Mm-hmm. And then earlier in his career, he really pulled off
a good Lucifer,
a stupendous yeah. Satan.
Yeah, I like that movie because you know it's about. Although I'm a atheist, I do like movies about religion, especially when religion is abused and stuff. And then I like that movie because all the angels wore trench coats and had, you know, I don't know why I thought that was funny, but I liked it. It was very
that is cool. I just remember that movie being cool.
It was an interesting movie. Yeah. So
I like Eric Stoltz, and I think he made it about 5 minutes before they killed his ass.
Simon, yeah. I don't remember how he died, but yeah, or got his wings ripped off or whatever.
You almost think he's going to be the hero, maybe?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's probably been 20 years since I've seen that movie.
That movie.
Anyway, welcome to the movie episode of JBC.
Well, I think that when we talk about evil, it's necessary to address the cultural context in which we regard evil. And obviously, we as a species are fascinated by it. We make movies about it, TV shows, books. We talk about it on podcasts. We talk about that we're talking about it on podcasts. In fact, I just now talked about it on our podcast. So clearly, it's a very pervasive, persuasive, another P-word topic.
Well, is it time to pay for our sins?
I think it is, yeah. Or at least it's time for me to quit trying to make shit up. We have a Larco. We got an ad, right? From you?
Yep, there's a word from our sponsor. There's an argument for cancellation. I'm really looking forward to the Larco. Can we do the Larco first? And then
absolutely.
I've got a little something to say.
Yeah, okay, so should I?
Not yet, because I know you've got something loaded in your Dropbox.
Yeah.
But I'd like to make mention of that.
Okay, do you want to make mention of that before I make mention of the ad, before I read it? What order should we go in? Okay, there's your mention, my mention, the thing, and the Larco itself. So there's four things. What order are we going in?
The fact is there is a new Larco intro song.
Yeah, which I've never heard.
So I'll just start, and I'll say eventually you'll hear it because there's a Larco ad coming right up, mm-hmm. Listener. Don't you worry. But I was commissioned by Larco. Apparently it's part of their evil plan to, you know, up the production quality of the ads that we do and the ads that they do all over the world. And so they commissioned me to do a little jingle. There's an intro and an outro now,
yeah,
for Larco.
Oh, I'm excited.
So you can take it from there. I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah. No, this is going to be great. I tell you what, I will tell you about the ad, and then I'll do the intro, and then I'll do the ad, then I'll do the outro, and then we can move on. So just real quick, when Larco sent me this, I called them up and I said, this ad is our theme this week is evil. This isn't evil. And they said, oh, yeah, it is. I said, well, no, not really. It's about other stuff. And they said, well, we really don't want to sell this product, but we have to because they gave us a lot of money, the people who came up with it. So that's why it's evil. They were seduced. Larco was. So I guess what I'm trying to say is the views expressed in this ad may not reflect the views of Larco themselves, which is, you know, really hypocritical since they're making money off of it. And it certainly doesn't reflect our views, which is really hypocritical because we're also making money off of it. So let's do this.
The company that meets your needs, behold Larco's lofty deeds. Bow down, bitches, get on your knees and buy some shit from Larco.
Let me ask you a question, boy. Do you give a hot damn what you put into your body? Because if not, I'm here to tell you they got a word for people who don't give a God-fearing damn about what they shove into their orifices. Now, I ain't going to say that word on account of I don't want the PC police to come rolling up here and blaring words like patriarchy at me, which I don't even know what it means, and I'm not even sure if it's in American. But I can tell you this. The word they call people who let any old thing slide into their holes rhymes with nut, and once you get called that, well, I guess that's all you're ever going to be. In America, well, she's on the brink of disaster. All these liberals treating her like a rhymes with nut, letting whoever and whatever into her body. Now, maybe you're one of the few people left who love America and American things, real American things like guns and walls and Jesus. Well, that makes you a target, son. They're looking at you like a second-string defensive end looks at a passed-out sorority girl at a frat party beer and Spanish fly rager. And those libtards, they're sneaky. Let me tell you a story of how they even came after me, how I almost got turned into a pink old commie rhymes with gagget. See, there I was at a 4th of July picnic. I know some people hate the 4th of July and spend the days reading vegan books and wearing organic shoes and who knows what, but me, I think it's patriotic to celebrate the bloody slaughter of a bunch of no-good red coat but not red hat wearing limey rhymes with grass holes. I had already slurped down a thick, greasy hot dog, as is my wont, and I was about to bite into a delicious barbecue chicken wing when all of a sudden I noticed something. It was a left wing. Yeah, that's right, you heard me. A gall dang left wing like some kind of hippie snowflake Rachel Maddow watching Cook would eat. I about lost it. But I kept my cool, Semper Fi, am I right? I pulled out my Bible, I pulled out my gun, I said a prayer, threw that wing in the air, pulled the trigger, and shouted, "Lock her up!" People hollered, of course, but I just hollered back, "Second Amendment!" That shut them up. I chugged the rest of my Budweiser, walked over to the telephone, and called up a few friends of mine, and now I am proud to give you the all-right wing can of frozen barbecue chicken wings from Larco. Never again do you have to worry about looking like a Pelosi-loving, Obamacare-wanting mail-in ballot using no-good college-educated progressive rhymes with grits for grains while you're enjoying a tangy snack and watching that great American sport where men in tight pants smack each other on the ass, that sport we call football. No longer will men who drive trucks and women who wear tube tops like God intended look at you and wonder if your Prius is the same color as your gender-fluid significant other's fingernails. You know what I mean? Let's just say this. If the all-right wing can of frozen barbecue chicken wings from Larco wanted to buy a wedding cake, no one would have to exercise their rights as decided by the Supreme Court decision on Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. So go on, you patriotic son of a rhymes with snitch. Click off InfoWars, go to the internet, and get yourself an order of the all-right wing can of frozen barbecue chicken wings. Order today, and they'll throw in a bucket of trespassers who will be executed, so get off my ranch dressing. No extra charge. Just pay shipping and handling. Guns. God. Glenn Beck. The all-right wing can of frozen barbecue chicken wings. Now that's how you spell America. That's what I'm talking about.
Larco. All right.
Yeah. Well done. Well done on that intro outro. You got skills, son.
Well, I think maybe it's a bit much, but we can. Yeah. I've been instructed that we should use it from now on.
Okay, then that's what we'll do.
Yeah. So, I've got a word from our sponsor. The guy that did the intro. Jackass Lee Spookenstein.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be doing the ad today.
Okay.
And so, yeah, let's just do this.
Let's do this. Shoot. Oh, there it is. And which one is it? Sorry.
NRA.
Oh, okay. Let's do this again. Sorry, I screwed it up.
They use their media to assassinate the real news. They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler. They use their movie stars and singers and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. And then they use their ex-president to endorse the resistance. All to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia and smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding, until the only option left is for police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of the truth. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
I think you just
wrong.
Oh God, we need a producer. I'm glad you brought that up.
Did that ad sound familiar to you?
No.
I'm looking here. They've had this exact same ad before. The exact same transcript and everything, except they had a different person reading it, and I think it was maybe it's the Who's that lady that represents the NRA usually? She does videos. She looks really angry. She looks like she's like about ready to spit on you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
I do know who you mean. I don't want to say her name because I try not to say the name of evil people if I can not evoke it, but it's Dana. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That very same ad was read by her at some point, but I guess they went with Jackass Lee Spookenstein because they wanted someone less evil.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Like, I want to make sure I get this
Marketing
right.
Solutions didn't write that. I get that. They've done this ad before.
She somewhere read that copy and meant it.
That exact copy. Yeah. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear the same ad?
No. I mean, this show is about evil, but I'm not putting evil on the show.
All right.
Well, did she really say, though, the NRA is the last?
You want to look up?
Yeah.
Let me just say, if you want to hear that exact same ad, read by an attractive woman that looks like she's ready to spit in your face, all you have to do is go to YouTube and type in like NRA ad, and it'll be the top one to watch.
Oh, that's just. She actually said the NRA is the last place for where freedom is safe or whatever.
She said everything that Jackass Lee Spookenstein just said, word for word.
Oh, man. I really do honestly and genuinely and sincerely believe that in as much as there is evil in the world, the NRA is where it is concentrated right now. They know what they're doing. They have every... They know exactly what they're doing, and they know that they are using stupid people in such a way that those stupid people are actually harming themselves. And just it, Joe, we got to change the subject. We got to change the subject because I'm going to go on a rant.
All right. Well, what minute are we at?
48, 49.
Okay. Well, you know, we're talking about evil. We are ostensibly a comedy podcast. So if we go too deep into real evil, it really puts a wet blanket on things.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
So I think we've been careful, though, so far. Not bad. It was really nice to have Ian back. You know, there's one thing we didn't touch on, and this is kind of just academic, something that we can ponder. I don't think it'll be too disturbing for us. Would you like to try it on for size here?
Yeah, let's do that.
So I think a lot of people get confused because there's all these there's shootings all the time.
Yeah.
And people do horrible things, and then I think people a lot of people respond by thinking, oh, this is evil. I think actually people attribute terrible things to evil more than evil is actually responsible.
I'm
talking about mental illness.
Okay, yeah.
Just because sometimes, and this is actually, I don't think it's representative of the community of people that have mental health conditions, but sometimes in really extreme cases, people, you know, suffer from delusions or, you know, really struggling, and then they end up lashing out, and it's really not them. It's not some evil decision that they've made. There's not like a malintent per se.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that person's illness overtaking them, and then they become dangerous.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, just wanted to bring up something, you know, funny, because we're. I'm sorry, man. The subject matter remains bleak, but I just wanted to say, I think in fairness, a lot of people are pegged as evil, but you know, in some of these cases, it's because there's another explanation.
Yeah,
it's not that everybody that does bad things is evil. Sometimes right. It's mental illness, you know.
Right, and I think it's a good point, because somebody might be saying, so what? Bad is bad. If somebody does something bad, who cares why they did it? They shouldn't have done it, and we need to stop them. But if you just throw the word evil at everything that you don't like or don't agree with, then there won't be any way to combat it unless you invent religion and then send prayers, which does fuck all. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm saying that perceptions that are evil are what religion is based on, and that's why all religions are evil. We've gone over this topic before. I will stop talking now about that, but
it's okay.
I think your point is valid.
I don't want to stigmatize people with mental health conditions. Most people with mental health conditions are not dangerous.
That's right.
Most people that are harmful to other people are not mentally ill.
That's
actually
right.
And people struggle with that concept. The fact is, you don't have to be mentally ill to be kind of a malicious asshole.
Right.
And to be really harmful. And most people that are harmful are those people.
Exactly.
And some people that are harmful are pure fucking evil, which we've discussed before. But I don't want to stigmatize mental health. Most people that are dangerous are not mentally ill. And most people with mental illness are not dangerous. So
right.
Just want to put that out there.
No, you're correct. And as a Taco Bell manager, I know that you run into mentally ill people, mentally healthy people, evil people, and not evil people, and every combination of that. So I can definitely appreciate where you're coming from, Supreme. I've decided, by the way, every time I talk about your job, I'm going to end my sentence with Supreme. Supreme.
With cheese. Supreme.
That's right. And sour cream. Okay, so
at Taco Bell, and I'm included in this group, I think that if you order a Crunchwrap Supreme,
mm-hmm.
a Gordita Crunch with sour cream, and two orders of Nachos Bel Grande,
yeah,
you are suffering from a mental illness.
Yeah.
It's depression.
Yes.
And if I find myself that if I see that food in front of me, to me, it's a warning sign that I've been stricken with depression, because there's no fucking other reason to eat all of that shit in one setting unless you're trying to regulate some disastrous emotions.
Right.
That's all
right.
I'm saying.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I for years said that Taco Bell was my therapist. So,
Well, then there are people that order Taco Bell desserts, and those people are not mentally ill. They're fucking evil.
Yes. Exactly. 100%.
That was supposed to be a joke. Thanks for not even a fucking like courtesy chuckle. Damn.
I honestly,
you're my only audience, man.
I honestly don't think I think it went right over my head. Say it again.
I'm just saying, if you order Taco Bell dessert, you're evil. That's all.
Exactly.
I think that you struggled with it because you order Taco Bell.
I love those
and
Choco
so
Tacos.
It hit close, really close to home. Am I right?
Yeah. I'm trying to
I mean, no offense, you're a very funny guy. You're one of the funniest people I know. You're probably the funniest person I know, but you know,
Let's face it, it wasn't a funny joke.
No.
This is a very good segue into argument for cancellation.
No, Joe, look, I'm eating a Choco Taco right now. Yes, it's evil. We're doing an evil show. So I went to Taco Bell. I told the guy behind the counter, hey, I need a Choco Taco. He said, that's not what they're called. I said, motherfucker, if you don't give me a Choco Taco right now, I'm going to put my foot so far up your ass, I have to take a boat to the hospital. And he's like, do people still say that? And so I punched him in the face. And I stole the Choco Taco and I came back here. And then you're all like, oh, desserts are evil. I'm like, yeah. Just help me, Joe. Help me understand.
Look, I'm going to give you a pass. I think it was a little harsh. You know, you can have your Choco Taco. It doesn't mean that you're evil. You should do some introspective work and ask yourself, why am I eating this fucking Choco Taco right now? Because something is wrong. Maybe you're not evil, but something is askew. Okay.
I am eating this Choco Taco to celebrate having punched someone in the face for asking for a Choco Taco. That's why.
Okay, we're back to evil.
Okay,
good. So let's argue for the cancellation of the program. Okay. Really quick.
All right.
Sometimes that is better.
Welcome to Arguments for Cancellation here on JBC. So, I had big plans, Jason, for today, but I just can't follow through. I think we should stop the podcast because neither me nor you put enough time and effort into this podcast to make it good, so we should just give up.
Okay.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
And my example for that is Larco commissioned me not only to do an intro and an outro for their ads on our show, they also wanted me to make a song that recapped an entire year of Larco products.
Okay.
And, you know, I know that's part of their evil plan and everything, and I really tried my best. Now, see, I'm lying. I didn't try my best. I gave myself a couple of hours. It turns out this project is going to take weeks.
Wow, okay.
Because there's so many fucking Larco products. And, you know, the song, I think, I'm trying to do the song for 2017, and then I'm going to do one for 2018 to recap all the products for 2018. I tried to do 2017. I didn't give myself enough time. I'm not very good at this, and I made it about 30 seconds into the song. I figured the least I could do is play you that song. It's called A Work in Progress.
All right, here we go.
Safe-proof cross and lucky song, pretty time. Bag of microphones and no wind chimes. Cause it's a sloppy Joey, Mac, a kangaroo, and I'm smart. Hold up the shot, good old eggs, fun for fun, fun.
Yeah, that's... So your argument, Joe, is that because you didn't finish it, we should end the show? Joe, are you there?
Sorry, I cut out there. Yeah, that's my argument.
No way, you have to understand,
if you saw the process, it was me going, I need 2 hours to record this entire song and to do my job for the podcast. I made it 30 seconds into the song. This is just an example of how poorly planned all of my prep is. And I think you kind of work the same way, and I just think it should be over anyway. Yeah. Did you recognize any of the Larco?
I recognize all of them. Yeah, and here's why we're not going to end the show, because I want you to finish that. You have not convinced me.
I think You just didn't. Fucking convinced me.
Alright, apparently I didn't do a very good job this time.
Wait, are you saying you didn't do a very good job of not doing a very good job?
Sometimes. That is better.
Just so confusing. I guess I'll just finish the fucking song.
Yeah, absolutely.
See how it goes. Again, yeah, I think I only made it through maybe four or five products. I had a list of products in front of me. It was like fucking 40-something products.
Yeah. There's you and I have... We have pimped... We have been pimped a lot. Because I would love to hear the same treatment for all the ads you've done as well.
Well, we shall see. It'll probably be its own argument for cancellation, because when I finish the song, it's probably going to be a half hour long, and it's going to be a slog, my friend.
That will be good. That'll be like one of those desert rock songs that go on for forever and ever. I would be into that. All right. We're done. Anything else you want to say?
Huh?
Yeah, we're at an hour.
No. Well, I... anything more.
All right. So, next week, I'll be recording from a different place because I'm going to Thanksgiving with my lovely wife Allison's family. We'll figure out how that works. Yeah.
Happy birthday on Tuesday.
Oh, fuck. I completely forgot. Oh, God, I'm old.
You know, we'll do... Next week, it'll be a Thanksgiving episode, but mostly, it'll be giving thanks that Jason is alive. Oh. We will do some birthday for you.
That's all. That's nice of you. I might even be sober.
Evil Burger the Third! Fuck you, Craig!